Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 628, Grimm's Mid-Show Summary, recorded live on May 10th, 2018. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome back to a somewhat news-filled week for Halo. We got quite a few things from Waypoint to discuss, and a one or two one-off things from the community that we'll bring up in a little bit, too. But first, let's get a weekend recap of things that happened over on the Podtacular side of things. So, GT, give us a quick recap on things that happened over the weekend.
Well, I can't really tell you because I've slept since then. Oh, wait a minute. game night. We had a lot of fun. Did a little big team, some Warzone, Super Fiesta, the usuals.
Very nice.
Our party's was too big to do any of the special playlists, so. But we had fun.
That's good. I showed up for like the last 30 minutes, but.
Well, you did show up.
It's been a little bit easier for me to show up after being settling into the home a little bit more.
Well, I mean, you know, between the wedding and the home and everything else, it makes makes for a busy boy.
That it does. Not having to plan for the wedding anymore has been so good. It's like a burden has been lifted.
That definitely eats up a lot of time.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much time it ate up until like the past couple of weeks. It's like, oh, I actually have time to do things again.
I can play!
Yay! And it's nice because wife goes to bed around 9:30 and I'm up at least until 11. So that gives me an hour and a half to play video games.
Yeah, about the only time I see 11 o'clock is
in the morning.
Well, yeah, I see it every day, but as far as 11 o'clock at night, about the only time I see it is when we have one of them 3-hour podcasts.
Gotcha. Those podcasts can be fun sometimes. They're long, but fun.
Oh, yeah. Makes for a really short night, though.
Yeah, definitely a little short on the sleep.
You know, if I didn't have to get up so early in the morning, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but.
Yeah, I hear you. So we got a few things news-wise to talk about. We have some updates on Helmet Gate, as we titled our podcast from last week, which actually garnered a little bit of attention and some laughs out of people, which I'm happy it got some laughs. We have some competitive settings updates, and we also have a recap of the first MCC Insider flight. So quite a few things to talk about tonight, a good handful of official news to discuss. So let's go ahead and dive on into things. Which one should we start off with, GT? Should we start off with the HCS settings update, the MCC Insider recap, or the Helmet Gate update?
Well, I think let's just start with the MCC, because I'm sure that's what everybody really wants to hear. And then they can sleep through the rest of it.
Okay. So for MCC, the purpose of the first flight was to look at the matchmaking success rate and the time to match players together into a session. There were a lot of baselines that they pulled together for this first flight, and they were kind of testing it against their own established baseline. And then through the feedback program, the survey that they did, they also garnered perceived feedback from participants that responded to the survey. Halo 2 Anniversary was the only game that was in the flight with Team Slayer, 25 kills to win, and 5-minute games. And there were 3 different play sessions. And yes, I was one of the folks in the first flight, so I did get to play in the Insider flight, and I participated in all 3 play sessions. I will say that it was a pretty good experience. I can't get into too many details other than what's here in the flight recap, but overall, it was a much better matchmaking experience for at least the Halo 2 Anniversary stuff. I don't know how much that would translate into the other games in the collection, especially once you throw in all the other different server mixes and the population, but from the perspective of this build, it felt a lot better. And compared to going back to MCC and seeing how long it took to match up, and that, there's a night and day comparison. It was pretty significant.
That's good. Well, that's good that you're seeing improvement. I hope it's not skewed by player saturation. You know, you have all these people playing one playlist, so there's plenty of bodies to find to fill games.
And that's something that I think they acknowledge and recognize as being part of what could contribute to a little bit of a skew in it. I think for the most part, just testing the matchmaking function itself kind of proved that, yeah, whatever changes they made were actually pretty beneficial. And I mean, the saturation part in the other playlists, I mean, you see that in Halo Reach, Halo 3 anyways, where if you have a playlist that don't have that many people, then yeah, it's going to take longer anyways to match.
Well, you know, basically all I would like to see is kind of a comparison between, you know, population numbers, just, you know, kind of help gauge. Cause I mean, you've got 2,000 players playing one playlist.
Sure.
The system is going to have an easier time finding people to put in matches.
That's a fair point.
But it's good that you had a good experience with it.
Yeah. And I got to play with some friends who were also invited, which was a lot of fun. There were some games that had some massive swings just because of the small player base. But overall, it was a lot of fun. Some of the additional goals that they were looking at for this build was also looking at establishing different processes and procedures on how they're going to release builds in the future. Looking at the MCC message of the day rollout, validating the insider, the Xbox Insider Hub dependencies and tool sets, and activating the first insider program pool to run within the flight program and look at different communication strategies for flights going forward. Within the first flight, over 14,000 matchmaking attempts were made over the duration of the 3 official playtest sessions, which is a pretty good number. I don't know how big the flight pool was. I'm guessing it was probably less than 1,000.
Well, no, earlier in the article, they said there was over 2,150 people in the flight.
That's right. I totally forgot about that part. But yeah, so over 2,100 were invited. I don't know how many that means actually played, but I'm hoping for the most part everyone did. You signed up and got an invite. Out of that, 14,000 during the playtest sessions is pretty good. You were allowed to play outside the play session times. It's just that was the coordinated times where the most people would be on. And I don't know if that's a good number or not, or a great number over a 3-hour period. But just based on what I experienced on being able to get matched up, it was pretty good. They said the matchmaking success rate significantly exceeded the Flight 1 goals, which is a good thing if it exceeded what they were anticipating.
That's always a positive.
And the time-to-match results were also significantly faster than the Flight 1 goals. Majority of players were into matches in less than 38 seconds, which is comparable to Halo 5. I mean, Halo 5, when you start matchmaking and you get into a game, that's what, probably shy of 30 seconds?
It's probably between 30 and 45.
So that's pretty good.
It varies between playlists, but yeah, it definitely takes longer to load the game than it does to actually matchmake. So
a couple other things that they found during the survey were some bugs that they were actually able to fix on the fly. Apparently there was a backfilling issue that they were able to find pretty quickly when people hopped on Wednesday when the flight was available, and they fixed that one pretty quickly. And they're still doing some data analysis to do the direct comparison between the flight and the MCC equivalent, but for the most part, what they're seeing is it's a significant improvement for the matchmaking and networking updates that they applied to the build.
Sounds like it's really they're getting really positive results with their improvements.
So from the survey results, the technical quality of MCC as it was compared to the baseline is everything was significantly better. So there's some charts on the update that they posted. And for the most part, the questions that were asked were, the game has fewer server connectivity issues, the game locks up or crashes less often, the game is more stable, the game has fewer bugs, and the game has fewer performance issues. And everything was mostly on the agree side of the survey, which is good. It means that there is a perceived increase in quality from what MCC currently is delivering today. Next one is the program quality, which is just how the program has been delivered out and communicated to players that have been invited to participate. So the game delivering an experience that was consistent with or consistent with what was expected to be an MCC insider. Game was functional or playable. Developers did a good job communicating. Visual quality was polished. Developers listening and making changes on the fly. Offered a good value of time. Game has shown appropriate changes. And game had enough content or features. For the most part, everything was agreed upon by the overall group of testers. The couple of downsides were just not that much content, since it was limited to Halo 2 Anniversary and Slayer. And with the small play base of just having Halo 2 Anniversary, it might be kind of hard to determine if all the appropriate changes that the community wants is perceived well, but that was 69% voted agree to the game showing appropriate changes and improvement over time, which I think is a move in the right direction, but is going to take some more content that people can get some hands on with some changes made, I think, before that will increase. But overall, the expectations for the flight seem to have met or exceeded a lot of insiders' perception of what was coming. So next is qualitative feedback for the quick matchmaking. Matchmaking was very quick and was perceived to be a great improvement overall. The continuous play was the second thing that was noted, being able to get into a match and stay within the matchmaking playlist to just keep on getting matched up with new games. People like the new UI as well. For me personally, I didn't have a particular preference on it. It's just they kind of reorganized how things were laid out and changed the background. But people seem to like the new UI interface, or the new interface.
Well, sometimes just the background's enough to make people like it.
That's true. Dislikes were lag and frame rate issues, which I can attest to lag in games that I played. There was one game that lagged really, really badly, and I ended up sending a video clip in and it's like, yeah, this is something you might want to look into. The frame rate lag was also pretty bad on some of the more graphically intensive maps in particular situations. But for the most part, the frame rate issues weren't that noticeable unless you played in on those maps that you had those things pop up every now and then. The second dislike was the intense matches due to the initial population and skill-based matchmaking not enacted. So because the pool was limited, there were quite a few quote-unquote sweaty games. There were times when I was playing where our team completely decimated the other team. Sometimes where it was pretty even keel, and sometimes where the other team just decimated us. It was a pretty wide range across the board.
That pretty much describes my entire experience with Halo 2.
So this would fit right in.
It's authentic matchmaking. Oh.
hopefully with the Truest Guild 2 that they've done in Halo 5, which seems like it's been getting some pretty, well, mixed feedback, but it seems like it's doing its job, then we shouldn't have a problem with it when it comes to MCC, which I'm assuming it would come to MCC to some degree.
I hope it does. So far, I've been very happy with it. I've only had one match where I was, two matches where I was matched against people that I don't believe I should have been matched with. And that was in Free For All.
Okay. Well, Free For All can be a little difficult sometimes to get good matches depending on the population count, when you're playing, all that kind of stuff.
But, you know, basically all I did, you know, I backed out and relaunched it, and then I started getting better games.
That could work too. The third thing was the desire for more games and modes, which they were just testing the matchmaking piece of this, and they didn't want to saturate out the playlist or anything, and the Halo 2 anniversary was probably the easy and small way to go about saying, hey, this is something that we can do pretty quickly. Let's just focus on this and go with it.
Well, they also wanted to eliminate variables. When you're testing a matchmaking system, you want to focus all your efforts on the matchmaking part of it, not the game types. So you want to introduce as few variables as possible.
And in future flights, they'll expand it.
This was kind of a baseline test.
Right.
To see if they are going in the right direction.
And I think they are. At least for the matchmaking updates that they've applied is, I believe, heading in the right direction. And I think almost everyone that you would talk to is saying, yes, the flight that we got is significantly better in terms of matchmaking. My question would be for the next flight is if they try to keep the same updates that they've made to matchmaking and maybe throw in Halo 2 Classic, so maybe have Halo 2 Classic and Halo 2 Anniversary, or maybe have two playlists where it's just Halo 2 Anniversary, but you have a playlist for Slayer and a playlist for Objectives, and then see how that balances out. Maybe something like that.
No, I think a lot of that's going to depend on how big the second wave of flighting is. How many people they invite in.
So they said the next flight is going to have approximately 2 times the amount of the first pool. So the first one, they sent out 2,150 invites, so looking at possibly 4,300 invites to go out for the second flight.
I could probably see like a Slayer playlist and a CTF playlist.
And then be able to see how the matchmaking times balance over the two playlists during the coordinated play sessions. Some key takeaways and learnings that they're pulling from this flight. They need to work on improved communication processes between the studio and the insiders. There really wasn't a good way other than kind of vague tweets and direct messaging and all that kind of stuff. So they're looking at other ways to enable communication back to the studio when there are issues or feedback to report. The latency of the games, the lagginess, was attributed to the peer-to-peer networking that they did in the games, which I didn't know they were doing peer-to-peer for the games. I thought they might be using dedicated servers, but
apparently not.
Performance, there were some players that reported certain performance drops in areas of the Halo 2 maps or the Halo 2 anniversary maps. That was kind of based on earlier having frame rate issues. Sweatiness, which was kind of attributed to just the small player base. Early access, the build was actually released on Wednesday, even though the first orchestrated playtest was not until Friday. It helped uncover a lot of early issues that they looked at fixing pretty early. So they're looking at how early they want to have flights go out for future flights. And then the content and engagement and players just making more ways to include more content and adding different focus areas for future flights. The big thing was greater variety of content, which this flight was only really focused on the matchmaking element of it. So depending on what they specifically do for the next flight, we will probably see an increase in content. So apparently they were keeping a little bit of a rank of how many games people were playing. So Fish MVN, which is, I'm guessing, just pronounced Fishman, played 209 games during the course of the first flight, which is a lot of games and then of Halo 2 Anniversary. I don't think I topped 50, maybe 60 or so, but there are some people on playing almost constantly.
Well, Vengeful Van Damme is on there for the 132, so...
Yes, he is.
He's been a critic of some of 343's decisions, which totally his opinion, but he's critical, but he's not mean.
Yeah, kind of like vetoed.
Yeah. You know, he addresses it the way you should. Offer your opinion and offer, you know, he does offer a possible solution.
Yeah. Giving valuable feedback, which is what we need. We need more of those people in the community. The next flight is going to be focusing on dedicated server deployment and ongoing stability, increased participant counts, looking at more metrics for on dedicated server performance, time to match, max success, and number of errors, and then increasing the content to have maybe more maps and game modes. So overall, first flight, I think, was a smashing success by the way that it sounds like they smashed their initial expectations, and the feedback overall was quite positive.
It looks that way.
I think just having the better matchmaking is a significant improvement to MCC as it is today. Like, if you were just to take the matchmaking improvements and push them over, I think you'd get quite a few people that would come back saying, oh, I can actually play matchmaking and enjoy this now. Granted, there's other issues to MCC, but matchmaking has been one of the bigger issues. And that's the thing. And that's the thing that people go back to with Halo is doing the multiplayer, going into matchmaking and playing the multiplayer stuff. So I think it was a good place to start. And that matchmaking is probably the most active activity within MCC. And it'll be interesting to see what they bring down the pipe for the second flight, other than just doing dedicated servers, increased population, and more content. So that's the MCC update.
Hopefully I'll get a chance to join on this one.
Hopefully. I'll see if I can put in the word with the boss man upstairs.
What's your wife going to do about it?
the other boss man, the Halo boss man.
You know, although, you know, the times that they're doing this stuff, like I said, if they follow the same schedule, I probably will be able to attend one of them.
Which is fine. I think there are quite a few people that can only attend one of the play sessions. Like some of the friends that I had online that I played with on Friday, they weren't playing on Saturday or Sunday. I was fortunate enough to be able to play in all three play sessions. And I did the full 3 hours on Friday, and then I just did an hour on Saturday, and I think maybe 30 to 45 minutes on Sunday. Just because it was one of those things like, okay, this is a lot more fun with friends, which kind of makes sense, but playing by yourself, even with winning, can get kind of old pretty quick. So it was good. It was fun.
Oh, I'm sure they'll probably pull it on a weekend I have to work, so that would just be my luck.
My guess is they're probably going to have these flights, I would almost say every month, based on the updates that they put out for MCC well, nothing else to really compare to, but it seems like maybe every month or every 5 weeks or somewhere kind of in that range is when we might see some new flights come out.
Well, we'll just have to stay tuned.
That we will. All right. Should we do HCS updates or Helmet Gate next?
Whichever one you want.
All right.
I picked the first one. You can pick this one.
All right. Let's do the HCS stuff and get that stuff sorted through. So I've listened to the Bad at Halo show and HCS Pro Talk versions of this already. So for those that listen to those shows as well, you're going to get another rehash here just without the swearing.
Oh, come on, Dust.
Because we're a family-friendly show.
Why the bleep not?
So we have quite a few obvious things that are changing, which is like, why did it take so long for some of these changes to happen? But they're happening anyways. So let's just go through the list. And this is from, I think, pretty much Tashi. I think it's safe to assume that it was posted by Tashi. So maps and modes rotation have grown stale. No kidding. We've seen the same maps and modes for the past 3 years that HCS has been playing on Halo 5. That's the first thing that they're trying to solve. Second thing is with the player movement in Halo 5, game flow has a kind of snowball effect with some of the Spartan abilities that are in Halo 5. And they said that it's difficult for viewers to follow, which I don't think it's necessarily the case that it's difficult to follow, because there's other esports titles out there like Overwatch and League of Legends. Well, I guess League of Legends isn't that fast, but there's other, CSGO is another one. There's other esports leagues out there, and Call of Duty, that are very quick. Action happens very quickly, and I don't think, those wouldn't be as popular as they are if they were difficult for viewers to follow. So I don't think it's necessarily an issue of difficult for viewers to follow. I think it just makes for boring play when you just see one team just have the snowball effect and completely just dominate a map. You want that tug of war. And with some of the Spartan abilities, I don't think that tug of war is there.
Yeah, the only problem I have is, as far as being difficult to follow, is the fact that they can't pick a person and stay on them for more than 10 seconds.
Yeah, there's that too. I think that's...
I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand it. They're looking for somebody that's in battle. But that is one thing they could do better for the streams is, do some kind of delay or something so that they can show these battles without cutting right into the middle of them.
Well, I think that makes it harder on the casters, because it's the casters that are kind of dictating to an extent which screen to watch. And they're like,
that's not a problem, because they show the casters that delayed stream. Because the casters aren't looking at the stage. They've got a feed right in front of them.
Yeah. I don't know. That I hadn't thought about it that way.
Or use some kind of flashback recording or something to where, they can show the whole battle.
Well, you couldn't do that with a live audience. You couldn't do that with a live audience, because you have the casters broadcasting to the live audience, so you wouldn't be able to delay it. Because you'd see one of the players up on stage say something, and then 7 seconds later, you see it on screen. It breaks the immersion.
Like I said, there's got to be some way to make that more interesting in that part.
I think that it's not an issue with Halo, but I think just a byproduct of Halo is there's so many people that can be in a battle at one time. It's hard to necessarily focus on a particular player. You're just looking for a player that's either on fire, has power weapons, or making a move on an objective. Whereas for maybe something like Call of Duty, it's a little more spread out. You know who's going to be engaging, probably one-on-one or cornering a player more likely than you can in Halo, because Halo has the shield aspect of it that draws out those battles a little bit longer. And I think that's what makes casting Halo a little more difficult. And the thing with something like Overwatch is you have squads of people moving together, and you don't necessarily have that for Halo all the time.
Well, I mean, you know, they just, I guess, just need to get a little bit better at predicting where the action's going to be.
Yeah, there's always room for those improvements. It's just, it's very difficult.
Oh, yeah, I totally understand. But, you know, that's, as far as watching the stream, that would, that is the only difficult part.
And I would agree, it's hard to follow sometimes just from the cast perspective. I think it's also hard to follow because it can be a little dull. I don't think it's necessarily hard to follow because of the speed of the game mechanics.
Yeah, I was just addressing the hard to follow part.
Yep. The next thing that they're trying to solve for is Fathom has a tendency to have ties in CTF. And it also has the chance, or CTF also has the chance to end very quickly, which I think we saw maybe two or three different CTF games at Halo Worlds that ended in less than 3 minutes, which shouldn't happen.
I think they ought to put the flag on the whale on the outside of the building.
That would be a whole nother level. Additionally, some of the maps like Rig and Plaza have power weapons that are too dominating in play, which can contribute to the snowballing effect. And then players have also reported concerns of strongholds, rig, spawns, and access to power weapons. So those are the top five things that they're looking to address, which some of those are no-brainers. I was like, well, duh. It just took you this long to figure it out. I mean, the map and modes being the same map and modes for 3 years, that should have been a no-brainer. I think there have been plenty of people asking for a variety change-up for those. And I think that's one of the reasons why CLG, then Optic, now Tox, were able to maintain a stronghold within Halo 5 so long, is because it was the same maps and modes over and over and over again. There was barely any change to the format. And granted, Splice won this time around, but Tox still took second place, so they're still a premier team within Halo 5.
Yeah, you know, the longer these teams play on these maps, the more comfortable they get on the maps, which just takes their game to that next level. You know, there's something to be said with a new map and the uncertainty of the team playing on this map in competition.
And that's why you need some new content in the game.
Yeah, you know, I agree. They should have been bringing in, you know, forged, you know, honestly forged competitive maps earlier.
Well, and I think another thing that had a detriment to the maps that are available now is when 343 developed these maps, they only developed them for three game modes: CTF, Strongholds, and Slayer, because those are the only game modes in the game. There was no consideration for other modes, and the maps were almost purposely built for competitive. And this is the first Halo game that's done that. It's kind of crazy to think that the way that they developed the multiplayer in Halo 5, even though it was targeted towards Arena, didn't do a great job of really developing a Halo multiplayer experience.
Yeah, see, you know, I said this, what, 2 years ago. One of the problems that 343 had with Halo 5 is they focused too much on the competitive.
Yeah.
As far as the multiplayer design. Now, does that mean I don't like it? Oh, I love it. It's my favorite multiplayer. But it limits the variety of what you can have in matchmaking.
Which we saw evidence in that they had to remove Oddball from rotation because they were going to have it for Worlds. But there were so many maps that had like throw-off points, which becomes a real nuisance. in that it's like, okay, a team has the ball and they're about to get overrun. Okay, just throw it off and reset the ball, and when off a spawn, they might get the ball back. It doesn't make for entertaining play. The only map that was in rotation, well, I guess two maps really, Plaza and Truth, I think were probably the only two maps in HCS that you could have that didn't have a throw-off point for the ball, if I'm not mistaken. I think those are the only two. So that's kind of an issue. If you want to add your only other game mode that you've added to the game, which is Oddball or Ball Mode. They did say that with the 343 development team focused on the next Halo title, there is no more room for additional weapon tuning or developer-made maps, which kind of sucks a little bit. It's like, well, you could have actually worked on some better maps, but you didn't, but okay. So we're moving on. They're actually considering Forge maps for once. The thing with the Forge maps is they're trying to make sure that the maps don't have frame rate issues. And with it being Forge and as complex as the Forge is for Halo 5, there's quite a few maps that even a simple map can have frame rate issues, which with Forge is as powerful as it is, it's awesome from a kind of casual perspective, but competitive, they want to make sure that the 60 frames is there for all situations. And it's almost like, well, okay, does that mean that you need to dumb down your Forge a little bit for this kind of competitive style play? Or do you need to add some other items in there that do well with structures or frame rate or what? The fact that there's been the hesitation to even consider Forge maps at all or additional maps for the HCS scene, the competitive scene, has been kind of a showstopper for expanding the experience. But it's nice that they're in the last year that Halo 5 is probably going to be the mainline title. They're finally thinking about having new maps and letting Forge be some of them. You could have figured that out last year. There are plenty of people touting that.
It kind of all depends on which way Halo 6 goes. I hope that they deliver a balanced multiplayer where, you know, they have a place for the casuals and, you know, your average Joes, and then they have a place for the competitive. And they need to be separate places. I know cuts population, but they need to be separate places.
I think that's where the social and the ranked is supposed to come into play. But I think a big issue with Halo 5 is all the Halo maps were designed with competitive in mind already. I don't think Halo 1, 2, 3, or Reach were ever designed specifically with competitive in mind. They want the matchmaking and the multiplayer experience to be competitive, but it wasn't with the focus of one specific corner of the community trying to be appeased, which you can't do that. You can't just cater to one community and let that community kind of be the dictator of an entire experience within a game. It just doesn't work like that.
No, they have to address their entire audience.
Yeah, because the competitive folks, they're not the major audience of the game. I mean, hate to break it to you, but I mean, while they do earn quite a bit of money, they're not the main audience that's playing multiplayer. It's casuals. It's got to be fun for everybody. The problems
that Halo 4 had, the one thing that it had over Halo 5, it was more casual friendly.
Yeah. Almost a little too much almost to an extent.
The opposite of Halo 5, you know. So hopefully in Halo 6 they can find a balance. They've got the regular matchmaking right now. They've got it to a point where it's pretty close to balanced. If they had a little bit better map selection, it would be perfect. You know, if they had more developer-made casual maps to offset the competitive maps, I think they'd have it.
I think it's also something that you can't just focus on maps that fit all the game modes that you have. And granted, you need to have more than just three game modes in the game, first off. But come up with a good map that has some good objective and Slayer flow, and then mix in the game modes, and then make the tweaks as needed. I mean, you had plenty of Halo 3 maps that were very tailored to one experience or another. Like, take High Ground, for example. Team Slayer kind of sucked a little bit. I mean, it was playable.
But a little bit?
High Ground was best for free-for-all, Assault, and One Flag CTF.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great map.
Same as Zanzibar.
Same as Zanzibar. And they're great maps. They're fun maps to play. Oh, gosh, boarding action. No pins. If they bring back boarding action, they better bring back Chiron TL-34.
now, that would be... Boarding action would be a good map to have in Shoddy Snipes.
Oh, jeez. I wonder... Someone's probably made it in Halo 5 Forge.
I haven't actually looked. I ought to.
I'm guessing someone has. I'd be surprised if they haven't. Anyways, make maps that work for Halo, given any kind of off game mode or whatever that just works, and then make sure that you have some maps that work with the competitive style, and let people make maps for competitive. I mean, since Halo 3, there have been Forge maps in competitive. Halo 3 had Forge maps, Halo Reach had Forge maps, Halo 4...
didn't have competitive.
Yeah. Pretty much. And I mean,
it's nothing a no-brainer. Else, if you're going to do Forge maps for competitive, develop some type of tool to recompile the map to eliminate the lag.
Yeah. Or take a Forge map, have maybe a small team that can go in and maybe make like pretty up a little bit, or make it to where it eliminates a lot of the frame rate issue by making them one geometry with a specific graphic set on them. I don't know what the technical word is at the moment. It's blanking on me, but like, just bring it in real quick, do a couple things with it, and then spit it back out. It's not, doesn't take that much. So they're looking at Forge Maps, which is great. A little late, but cool. Fathom CTF, they're looking at changing the flag positions, power-ups, CTF rules, and more on that. Looking at the shotgun and scattershot spawns, updates to the rig, since it almost seems like the entire competitive community hates the rig, except for strongholds, kind of. But for the most part, I think the rig is not very well viewed by the competitive community. Strongside is hosting some play testing lobbies, and this is actually ending, I think, tomorrow. Or they're trying to nail down the list of Forge maps down to like one or two by tomorrow. Which will be the 11th. They're doing some fine-tuning, and then they're locking in all the new changes that they're putting in for maps and game modes on June 1st, and then settings locks on June 8th for the season, which means it looks like we're going to have a summer season for HCS.
Well, I tell you what, if these maps actually make the cut and you don't have frame rate issues, they still look like some pretty good-looking maps.
They do, and I think for the most part, there's quite a bit of potential here. I do see some maps that could have the frame rate issue. And Strongside actually did put out a tweet earlier today, about maybe 3 or 4 hours ago, saying that they've whittled it down to 5 different maps. So we'll just go over the few maps that are left. But what they're looking at is the maps must perform at a stable frame rate, must support 4v4 gameplay, must support Slayer and an objective mode, whether it's CTF, Strongholds, or Oddball, and there must be measures taken to improve the look of the map for quality viewing experience. So the maps that are still left for testing are Vestige, which is kind of a Sing-Helios-style map, has kind of the gray dirt theme going with it. Doesn't really feel like any map has inspired this one, or I can't really... Well, I guess Sanctuary a little bit. I don't know. Do you get any kind of vibes off of this one at all, GT? It's hard to place anything.
Not from that angle, no. But there is a hammer on the map, so...
And, yeah, and this one has the strongholds on it as well. But it looks like the red base is kind of UNSC base, and then the blue base is Sing-Helios-style stuff. So that's one of the maps left. Another one is Russet. This one is, let me find the screenshot. This is kind of an internal UNSC style map. This one kind of has a little bit of a chill out slash cross empire vibe to it. It has a couple of upper bridge platforms with some pits and outer walkways. Actually, this also kind of reminds me of, is it Orbital from Halo Reach? The one that's up in space and has the center gravity, the low gravity area? Is that Orbital? Or no, Orbital was Halo 3. Begins with a C. Shoot.
Yeah, I don't really see Orbital in there.
It's not Orbital. It's the Reach one that's in space that has the center room that has the low grav.
Yeah, that's Orbital.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought Orbital was the Halo 3 one that had the two long hallways and the rockets at the top. Anyways, so it's that Halo Reach map, and I think people know what we're talking about. So Russet is another one. Echelon is another one, and this is kind of a outdoorsy type map. It's hard to kind of say what this is based on the screenshot, but
well, it's, you know, like a spaceport or something like that.
Yeah. What was the lava map that they added in Halo 5? Had the lava flow through it.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name of it right now.
I'm trying to look it up. But the... Oh, Molten. The outside where the Pelican is almost looks like the outside of Molten. But I have no idea what the inside looks up. Oh, great. They just posted a community update.
Of course.
Okay. I'll respond to that with... so that one, and again, we haven't played any of these yet, but we'll probably play them at some point. I think the HCS Pro Talk guys are going to be doing some playtests this weekend, and I'm hoping to get into maybe at least one or two of them just to see what the maps were like. But we have two more that are being considered. The next one is actually one that's not on or wasn't part of the original six that they posted. Is called Outpost, and this one, this one looks like Sanctuary. I think it actually is based off of Sanctuary. I'll send you a link, GT, because I forgot to send you this link. But if you look at all the screenshots, this is basically Sanctuary, which Sanctuary has been a very popular map. It was remade in Halo Reach, so I could see this one being very popular amongst the competitive scene.
I think that is a remake of Sanctuary.
Yep. Take the Halo Reach one because of the more structured pieces, and I think that's basically what you have.
Yeah, that's a remake of Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, something recognizable.
Looks like they've got currently have rockets in the middle or something.
That's pretty standard for the Sanctuary stuff. The only downside is it's a map that we've seen before. Yay for no new blanking on words. Innovation, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, with the abilities in Halo 5, it can make a map like that play like it's a new map.
Yeah, that's true.
And it kind of all depends on, you know, where they put power-ups, where they put power weapons, you know, if they're using it for CTF or Oddball or, you know, just straight-up Slayer, so.
That's a good point. Last one we have is Fissure. And this one seems like it's inspired off of Guardian a little bit. There's another map that I'm getting a feeling for, but I can't place a finger on it at the moment. But definitely Guardian.
That's just because it's a big circle thing in the middle.
Probably. I won't deny it. That's probably why. I will admit to that. I will happily admit to that. So those are the five remaining maps that we have by the time that you hear this podcast. The final one or two maps, or maybe more maps, will be determined. They're looking to include Oddball in for the season as well. So we'll get a new map, get a new game mode, hopefully get some tweaks to the established rig and fathom issues, as well as power weapon issues, and get to see a summer season get pulled off. Helmet Gate update.
Grim explains it all away.
Yes. So as we mentioned last week, there was a little bit of controversy over the artistic expression by the artwork for Halo Silent Storm with the butted in mouthpiece of the helmet. And Grim basically explained away how all of the mark for Mjolnir armor was all being tested and custom created for all the Spartans and constantly modified. And he even went as far as to pull a page out of the Halsey Journal. So Pins is happy a little bit, I'm guessing. Hopefully you're happy, Pins. But basically, the helmet is canonical. There are plenty of other depictions across the Halo universe, including The Fall of Reach, the novel The Tales from Slipspace, art pieces, stuff from the Halsey Journal, the Halo 4 Essential Visual Guide. Basically, there are plenty of other cases out there where Spartans have had their own custom armor pieces and have things custom built to their liking or whatever. So basically, this whole long piece to say, yes, this is canon. Shut up and color. But there's some interesting, there is actually some interesting stuff in here if you decide to read all the way through it. And what Grim does is basically go through the history of the Mjolnir armor, what its purpose was, how it kind of evolved over time to specifically help the Spartans that they were custom built for. A lot of interesting points on how the armor has kind of evolved over the duration of the Halo franchise.
Yeah, in the early days of Mjolnir, there were still a lot of development going on. You know, there wasn't a generation-wide change. You know, they would give, you know, this Spartan a helmet to test. They'd give this Spartan a helmet to test. There was still a lot of development going on, hence several different helmets. You know, so that kind of explains it. That, you know, the fact that in that time or up until now, we really haven't seen Chief in any other helmet except for here recently when we're talking the same time frames. I think that's what people have is really got their pants in a wad. You know, they see this iconic Chief figure that they know and love, and things change about him, and that's what gets people.
So it's canon. Hashtag deal with it. The next little piece that's in the canon fodder is talking about one of the ships that you may have seen on the Halo 5 Guardians menu screen. So not talking about Infinity, or not talking about the Prowler, but there is a Anlace class ship that Grim decides to take a little bit of highlight on. Deployed during Infinity's, or accompanied the UNSC Infinity during the deployment to Kamchatka, and it lacks the main railgun capability along the spine of the ship, but it has a lot of forward-facing energy-type weapons for some of the kind of closer-range combat. There's some other little tidbits up here. But yeah, a little ship analog of some things that we've seen, but maybe haven't had a little detail on yet. There's a committee query about being able to differentiate the different Covenant CSS class cruisers. There's a little shout out to Halo Podcast Evolved episode 150, where they talked about Halo Envoy. So congratulations, guys, on making it to episode 150. That is awesome. May you have another successful 150 going forward. And then there's a lore stream that they did a while ago, which they kind of referenced again in Canon Fodder, which the last one that they did, issue 100, was a while ago, right? It was several months.
Yep, it was several months ago. So
I have a feeling we might get a few more of these as we maybe start to dwindle down on some of the Halo news. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Anything else you want to bring out of the cannon fodder before we move on over to the community update and try to stumble through that one?
No.
Okay. So yes, as per usual, thanks, Grim, for releasing the community update during our podcast where we have no time to pre-read. a little bit earlier would be nice. We just went over the first couple of things that they talked about, the flight program, the latest cannon fodder, and the HCS settings. So the first three things we have kicked right off. The next thing that they did was another stream, which, of course, we could watch because it's during work hours. Come on, 343, work with us a little bit here. Some people work and can't actually watch on Mixer and Twitch and YouTube at work because it's not allowed.
Yeah, it's blocked.
There is some VODs up available, though. So you can head on over to the Mixer VODs, which I didn't know they had VODs they could actually go and watch. So I guess that's a new thing. But there is Grim and Uni playing in the Elimination playlist, and then there's Grim and Tashi talking about the Halo World Championship 2018 and just the experience there. Talking a little bit more about some of the changes that they're making for the Halo WC playlist. So lots of cool stuff there. They also highlight the Halo War 2 tourneys that have been set up and going on. So it is something to make sure that you keep in tune of if that's something that you're looking to check out. So there's Team Respawn, the Banished, and Breaking the Clutch all have different tournaments that are taking place from this past weekend up through June 10th, it looks like. There was a blog post with more details on the tournament stuff that has been announced. I think this was two weeks ago. So you can check out more about those, but all the tournaments are listed. So it looks like Team Respawn has 7 different tournaments. The Banished has 2 different tournaments, and Breaking the Clutch has 3 different tournaments. So there you go. Radar blips. There's new Halo 5 matchmaking feedback thread on Halo Waypoint. Looking at some of the changes that they've made to the CSR and MMR, which the MMR is probably where the TruSkill 2 comes into play, and the CSR kind of being the traditional new way of ranking. What you see on your platinum and your gold and your Onyx ranks. The rotational playlist. We got Castle Wars back.
Yay! And Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, they are hosting whatever they call it.
Playdate,
yes.
Yes. Which I will be camping, so I will miss it, sadly. But
I might actually be able to participate in that one.
So Fraggin' Friday's Cross 343 Community Playdate equals Castle Wars fun.
As long as they do it for more than an hour.
We like Castle Wars if people can't figure that out. just saying. On May 17th, Griffball will be sliding back into Halo 5, and this is where they officially introduce playgriffball.com. And we mentioned this before. It's kind of not the takeover, but the new location where the Griffball Hub folks kind of, or what was left of the Griffball Hub folks kind of restarted on playgriffball.
Under new management.
Yes, there you go. Under new management. So make sure you head on over there to playgriffball.com and you can sign up for the current season. I think it's still open if you're interested. I think I need to double check on that. But you can definitely head on over there, and if you're interested in Griffball, then catch the disease. That's the catchphrase if people haven't figured that out. Anyways, next little radar blip is Beachland. It's an annual week-long community-driven LAN that takes place in Tampa. So they're highlighting that, taking place on August 18th through the 25th. And it's the Halo CE LAN. If you're in the area, you can head on over to beach-land.com for more information. Halo or sorry, Forge Hub. Looks like they're putting together a map contest for a Halo of the Master Chief collection. It doesn't look like they have details out yet, but it's something that Forge Hub folks have told Halo Waypoint is coming down the road. I'm guessing this is probably in anticipation for MCC getting some of the updates that it desperately needs. So if you are in the forging area of Halo 2 Anniversary and want to kind of dust off those skills a little bit, looking at you, Duquesne, then pick it up and start forging. A lot of the forge contests have some kind of monetary prize behind it. So if you're a forger and have any inkling to go back to it, there might be something in it for you. And it looks like some of the Seattle Seahawks dropped into the studio, looked at the museum, and had a good time in there with some pictures and all that stuff. So cool stuff.
Luckies.
You'll be there one of these days. Hopefully this year.
Maybe.
Which, currently with how things are looking, my wife might be coming.
Yeah, I probably won't know for another couple of months.
If you're going.
Yeah. Like I said, my main problem is getting time off work, so.
Well, I'm sure we can get you a pass. There's plenty of things that I think we can get by with, and I think that's one of them. Nothing to worry there. In the community spotlight, we already covered this last week, but the St. Helios custom team that made the Warden Eternal. There's another picture of that on Halo Waypoint's community update, but we did talk about this a little bit last week, and I mean, this picture just kind of confirms it's a badass costume. The second thing is a Lego version of the Halo CE pistol, which I kind of want to make one of those now. But I haven't watched the video, but my guess is that the clip slides in and out. I mean, I guess I could watch it right now and see if it does. It's a 4-minute long video, and this thing looks pretty accurate. It even has its own like holder stand. The clip does come out. The trigger is pullable, and the thing that pops back whenever you shoot around. I should know this. I don't know what that's. The chamber basically comes back as well. But it's a really cool build, and he also made a little Halo sign out of Legos too.
Yeah, he's done a really good job on that one.
He really has. I kind of want one now. Check it out in the Halo update. It is really cool. Oh, he's made a plasma and frag grenade from Halo as well. Wow. Okay, this guy actually does quite a bit. Huh. Very interesting. The next community update is a Halo 5 aesthetic map, an homage to Halo CE's Truth and Reconciliation.
And from what I see, they've done a really good job.
The rock stuff kind of seems a little out of place, but it's an aesthetic map, so it's probably not meant to be one-to-one just because it's kind of a Forge map, multiplayer map compared to a Halo 1 mission map, but the pad is there, the lighting's there, the trees are there, the ambiance and the feel of it is very much like Truth and Reconciliation.
Well, I mean, it really is more of the CEA version than the CE version.
True. But just in general, from the campaign mission feel, it captures it very well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you can look at a picture of it and know what part they were working on or what they were trying to recreate.
Next thing is someone drew on their graduation cap Master Chief and the quote finishing this fight. Graduation time is here, and it's a pretty dang good piece of artwork for a graduation cap. Next one is a piece of art that was made by Azel Harris Pex, and this thing looks amazing. It looks like a VFX shot, but it's astounding. This might be what I use for the podcast art because it's just that good.
Yeah, it is definitely awesome. This almost looks like a shot out of a Blur cinematic.
Kind of. Kind of, yeah.
It looks like it's just a screenshot right out of a Blur cinematic.
Yeah, that's insane. And to wrap things up on the community spotlight, a guy doing the Halo theme, and the tweet that this is in says, "Forget the yodeling kid, meet Halo theme song kid." And he does it pretty well. For the Halo hotshots, we have quite a few different themes going on here. Some vehicle stuff. Primordial hits the charts again with his vehicle-themed screenshots. Looking at some of these other ones, Liz King also makes it back on here a couple times, actually. He's another repeat. There's some weapon or power weapon screenshots. Someone made a, I think this is an Enterprise C?
No, USS A.
A?
Or not, oh, A. Wow. It was, well, it's the one from the 60s TV show, which...
I thought that was the C.
I think yeah, that was the C. Yeah, because the B... Yeah, sorry, C.
Yeah, the Enterprise C. Someone forged that in Halo. Much
except for they forgot to put the C on it.
They did put the NCC 1701 on it. Being a
which Star when Trek you're looking fan. At the scale of this thing, it is massive.
Well,
I mean, compared to the Spartan?
Well, okay, compared to the Spartan. Well, it's hard to tell because it looks like I don't know where the ship is in comparison to the Spartan.
Well, I'm pretty sure they put the Spartan relatively close to the ship to show scale.
I guess the background's just confusing me a little bit. He didn't do a very good job of placing the Spartan in a very good spot to do scale.
No, he didn't, but...
But regardless, it's still...
You can get the idea of it.
Right. Yeah, Liz King actually did a really good job. His last set, I really like, because it's a good mix of just environmental and a couple of stage shots. I mean, if the colors of the screenshots were in different spaces, it's almost like a Windows screenshot gallery. With the Windows colors, because one's yellow, one's blue, one's red, and one's green.
Yeah, it does look that way.
That's the update in a nutshell. And that's all the official news that we have for this week.
Wow.
Yeah. We went through quite a bit tonight.
Yeah, we did.
So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We do have our Fragment Fridays that will be taking place tomorrow, merged in possibly with the 343 community play date. Playing some Castle Wars. I'll have to play a little bit tonight after the podcast just to get my fix in before I go camping tomorrow. We have our podcast that we record on Thursdays and also the Sunday streams that I do, which I completed Halo 5 completely. Achievements are all done. So I am 100% in Halo 5 now. Moving on towards either... Well, I'll probably go to MCC... Maybe Halo 3, because there's still 4 of the FFA matchmaking achievements that I need for Halo 3 on 360. So I might do that at some point, but that's what I'll be hitting up on the Sunday stream. We're also contemplating having the podcast back on Twitch, because Twitch now has a beta feature that they're testing a real-time streaming as well. So they're kind of getting up to speed, at least with Mixer, on doing the near real-time streaming. So we might be bringing the podcast back to Twitch if that all works out. So we might be dual streaming the podcast here soon as well. You can check us out on our social media networks. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Mixer, Twitch. We have our Xbox Club and our Spartan Company as well. So if we have it, just search for Podtacular and you will find it. Make sure you check out the Halo Hub. It's a new Discord server filled with Halo content, whether you're a podcaster, a cosplayer, machinima maker, Halo video creator, Halo artist, any kind of content that is community made. We want you to be a part of it. You can check out us out over on the Halo Twitter to find the link at the Halo Hub with an underscore at the end. That'll get you there, working on getting a couple other things set up with the server and some other things, but it's a place that we hope everyone can kind of share content. So we have a lot of different channels right now. There's a Halo Chatter, Halo Lore, Halo Products, videos, streams, podcasts, competitive, Forge Creations, Halo Art, PC mods, like the Arma 3 and the Sons of Solar Empire mods, game clips, montages, machinimas, looking for groups, achievement hunting, and off topic. So there's plenty of different avenues to get involved with, and we would like to see you over there. You can also check out our podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows, including Critzcast, Guardian Radio, Podcast 76, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. All great game-specific related podcasts, except for the last two. A lot of the hosts are very well-spoken, and the quality of the podcasts, I think, are pretty top-notch compared to some of the other podcasts out there. So it's definitely something worth checking out. I think it's something that if you're interested in the games, you definitely should check out the podcast. Or if you're just looking for some things to pass the time with, there are also some good podcasts to listen to as well. And I also have to give a shout out to the Bad at Halo show and the HCS Pro Talk show, because they're doing some awesome work over there. Podcast Evolved for getting to episode 150 on their podcast. Congratulations again, guys. And then another just a quick minor note to, I just had them in my head. Drunken Halo podcast. They're still trucking along with Justin and the Junior Ace. And there's one other podcast the Halo Conversationalists. Want to give them a shout out as well. So are you ready for some Spartan Company updates?
Yes, let's get the pain over with.
Well, funny you should say that, because the pain train, we're finally on level 5.
About time.
Yeah, so we only have one level 4 left.
It's like I planned it or something.
Which, for the Killing Marines, we've actually made quite a bit of progress. We had a group of us that went into Warzone during the Fragging Fridays last week. I know you're here, or you started that off, GT, and then we played a few more rounds in Warzone, but we're actually, well, we're not quite there yet, but we're almost within the 1,000 range on Killing Marines. We actually made quite a bit of progress. Yeah, almost. We made quite a bit of progress last week on Marine kills. I'm actually really impressed. If we kept up the pace on what we did last week, we could actually be done with level 4 Killing Marines probably by middle of the summer. I mean, it doesn't say much to actually getting it completely done, but it's something.
I got a feeling that's going to be the one that hangs us up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The closest level 5 that we have to completing is quickly kill 3 or more enemy Spartans. So I think that's basically a triple kill. And we have another 93 to go. Or sorry, not 93. What am I? 993 to go. So we're under the 1,000 range on that one. Grand Theft would hijack a vehicle or skyjack a flying vehicle. That's the next closest one with another 238 to go. And that's your Spartan Company update. We do have more spots if you are active in Halo 5 and want to help us get the Achilles helmet, or you're looking for it, then head on over to our Spartan Company, request to enlist, and we will get you approved. Anything else to add for tonight before we close it out, GT?
Just a reminder, if anybody is interested in joining in an episode of Achieving Halo, please hit me up on Twitter at GodzillaTodd or on Xbox at GodzillaT. I did have one person express some interest in that. I'm trying to arrange a time, so hopefully I can get another episode recorded here shortly. Awesome. And we'll be able to finish up Halo 5.
Any ideas on what you're going towards after that? What game you
probably
might be?
Probably after that, I'm probably going to move back to MCC and start working on Halo 2.
Have fun. Halo 2 is the hard one. Probably out of all the
Not when you titles. Put Bandana, the Scarab Skull, and Grand Funeral on. It becomes really easy.
That's true. Didn't think about that, but you're right. The only thing with that is, will that affect any...
It only affects time or score achievements.
So there you go. And I guess most of the time and score achievements are just best to do on their own anyways.
Yeah. You know, if you want to do a score achievement, you probably want to go to a lower difficulty. You definitely don't want to do it on Legendary, but a lower difficulty and turn on some other skulls.
That makes sense. That's all we have for tonight. We've got quite a bit of news for this week. Hopefully we'll have a similar kind of setup for next week. Thanks for tuning in, listening to us. Thanks, everyone, for watching us on Mixer. And hopefully we'll see some of you all tomorrow during Fragging Fridays. See you on the stream on Sunday, or if not, we'll see you next Thursday for the podcast. Take it easy, everybody. Keep on fragging them trucks.